You know, the month of October, unfortunately, has kind of become the devil's holiday. We've taken it and used it, October 31st, Halloween, and we talk about witches and goblins and all those things that go along with it. It used to be a day, I remember years ago, starting out as a youth pastor, I did a lot of things. It was crazy, and it went hand in hand with what I'm going to preach against today, and yet we did things, and of course, back then, things were a little bit different than they are. However, we do understand that the Bible deals and talks about the fact that we do know that the devil is alive and well. We do know that demons exist. And we find an illustration in the Bible where the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with that. And I want to say today that first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "And all power is given to me in heaven and in earth." And I want you to know nothing or nobody or no thing has any control over anybody or anything except the Lord give them or allow them to have that power. The devil today roams in this world, going about to and fro to see who he can destroy. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can destroy. And yet I want you to know today that even though he may be out to destroy, our God is out to save. Our God is out to redeem and bring us to the place we need to be. What I'm going to do today, since I'm going to be dealing with the scripture, just want to read one verse in verse number 33. Then we're going to come back and look at the context. But the Bible said, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice." Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, I do pray now that you would bless. I pray that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that your name might be lifted up and glorified. I pray, Lord, that you'd have your will and way in everything that's said and done. And Lord, today, I know that preaching a message like this, all the power of hell is going to be loosed against me. And Lord, against this church. But I pray today for your power. We plead your blood. And we ask, Lord, that you would guide and direct in everything we say and do. And we'll be sure to give you the praise and honor and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. C.S. Lewis said, "There are two equal and opposite eras in which our race can fall about the devil. One is to disbelieve in his existence." And there's a lot of people today that don't believe in the devil. But I submit to you today, he's real. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both eras, and hell, a materialist or a magician with the same delight. Today, many people are living in a world that have rejected the notion of a real devil. In fact, there's people today that reject the notion of a real heaven. But friend, I want you to know, just sure as I'm standing here today, heaven is real and hell is even as real, or well, it couldn't be more real, but it is real. It's a place of fire and torment and darkness and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And yet today the devil has been loosed in our society. And believe me, it's obvious by what we see happening in the news and around about us every day that we live. Yet today, and I know some of you may get a little angry or maybe think that I'm a little bit crazy or a little bit overboard, but our society and culture has become incensed with this matter of demonology. I don't know nothing about it, hadn't read the books, hadn't looked at the movies, but I hear about a fellow by the name of Harry Potter. And believe me, from what I understand, it literally culminates from witchcraft and the various things that are involved. I really don't know enough to talk about it. But we find people today that are caught up with movies that have to do with the wizards and the spirits and the aliens. As much as I tell you today that the devil is real and demons are real, I want you to understand today they're nothing to be played around with and nothing to be entertained in our home. Research indicates skeptics, irreligious people, and even liberal churches are far more likely to believe in superstition or the paranormal. I saw the day where somebody was talking about, I can't remember, something 51. There's a city where all the aliens are, and people was going to see the aliens. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. We as Christians depend upon God for power and strength, for guidance and direction, and we don't have time to delve into all these things out there that'll destroy our lives. And I want you to know today, I don't believe in aliens, but I do believe in demons. And I believe in the power of the devil that he has over us. Some churches, ministries, and believers are preoccupied with demons. I hear people all the time say, well, we got a Ouija board. I don't even know if that is anything popular anymore. It's probably gone to something worse than that. But I tell you, I've dealt a little bit in my life with people that I believe were demon possessed. And I'm going to tell you, it's one of the scariest things that you'll ever experience in your life. However, I will say something, and I want you to understand this today. I do not believe a child of God that is born again by the Spirit of God can be indwelt by a demon. You may disagree with me, but if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, they cannot live side by side. And I believe today, once you get saved and born again, you can be indwelt by demons. And I don't believe we ought to allow them to cause us fear in our life. Now, I do believe we better understand the devil is real. And we better understand that he is out to destroy us. And we have better understand today that the demons are out to get into lost people and destroy their lives the way they possibly can. I want you to know today, there's a place and purpose of the devil and the demons. And they're to operate in this world to accomplish evil. But as strange as it may sound, they operate under the authority of an almighty God. Friend, understand me today, there's nothing can happen in this world that God does not have control over. He has all power given unto him. What we find, we come to the book of Luke, Luke up to this point has been focusing in on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He declares that he's the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And my, what a blessing that is that he tells us all these things. But now we come to the early chapter of chapter Luke in verse number 4, and he begins to turn his focus or shift his focus toward the fact of the Lord's authority. And can I tell you something today? The reason this is in here is not to make us think that we've got to discover all about demons and all they do. It's in here in order that we might understand how powerful a God we got and understand that he is able to do what we cannot do. I want you, if you would, to look with me as we look and see that he has the authority. And by the way, he has the authority over demons. He has authority over disease. He has authority over nature, religion, and religious leaders. And yes, he has power over death. So Luke begins with a demon for a purpose. If Jesus is going to free this man that is demon possessed, how much more does he want to free you from the bondage of sin whereby you have been enslaved? I want you, if you would, to consider with me this morning our Lord's authority over demons. I think it's quite interesting, and I want you to stay with me and listen to what I'm saying, because I'm going to tell you something. This is the Word of God. The first thing we see is his authority in his preaching. The Lord Jesus Christ, his authority in his preaching. Look in verse 31 and 32. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Now I want you to know Jesus is the Son of God. But as far as his earthly ministry is looked at, Jesus, when he was upon earth, was first and foremost a preacher. That's why it's so important today that we have preachers and not somebody to tickle your ear or tell you what you want to hear, but somebody that'll preach, thus saith the Lord, and we need to understand our life needs to measure up with what God's word says. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And that's only doing what he did when he lived upon this earth and walked in our midst. The Bible said he came to preach. The word preach means to publish, to proclaim, to put it out there. Matthew 4:17, he said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Friend, today, people will go and they may go see a magician, and they may go see somebody that seems to have an extra supernatural power. But can I tell you today, I have no power except the power that God gives to me to stand here and proclaim the Word of God. But it all centers around the preaching of the Word of God. Love good singing, and that was wonderful. But I tell you, if we just sung one home, and by the way, I tell you, I got such a blessing out of it, I believe I'd have had my bucket filled. But I tell you, we would have neglected the most important thing there is, and that's the preaching of the Word of God. Later in the chapter, we find in verse 43 of Luke 4, Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. I'm going to tell you something. If preaching was important to Jesus, preaching is important for us. And if preaching was important for the people that he's preaching to, preaching is important for those of you who come to hear the word of God. Not to blow anybody up, but I had somebody the other day. He's been coming now for some time, been a member here for a long time. And he went out the door and said, I'm sorry, we're not going to be there Sunday. I said, I'm sure going to miss you. He said, you know, this is going to be the first service I've missed since I've joined the church. I tell you today, I wish that would be the desire of every person's heart today, that we would want to be here for every service and hear everything that is said in the Word of God. And I'm grateful for people today that are realize the importance of it, because today the world, listen, we fill our minds with everything that the television brings to us, but yet we neglect the preaching of the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him as he neared the end of his ministry. In Luke 20 verse 1, and it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came unto him with the elders. After his resurrection, Jesus continued to preach the gospel. He said in Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Our Lord showcases the centrality and the importance of expository preaching to the church by the example that he set, even as he comes to meet a man possessed with a demon. As Jesus preached, something happened. People were astonished. I tell you today, I'd love to hear Jesus preach. I want Jesus to preach through me. And it would never be as if he were preaching. I thank God today he can indwell me with his power. And he can give me a spirit, and he can give me what he wants to give me in order that I might preach and people may hear and know. But friend, it's an amazing thing. But when Jesus spoke, they were astonished. They were amazed at the doctrine. You know what doctrine is? It's teaching. I tell you today, there ought to be a hunger and a thirst after the righteousness of God. They were astonished means they were shocked. They were amazed. Why? Because what does it say? We find in the verse, in verse 32, for his word was with power. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for anything that is not with the power of God upon it. I pray every time I stand here, and I'm not going to say that every time I do have the power of God. But I desire God's power upon me as I proclaim the word of God. As Jesus opened the Bible and told the people what God said, what it meant, what God expected them to do. He preached with clarity. He preached with truth. He preached with power. And literally they had said, we've never heard anything like that before. Well, I tell you today, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could capture the minds of people the way the world is able to capture the minds of people? Movie stars, they get people's attention and literally they get overtaken by it. Football, sports, and I love all that. I'm not saying nothing wrong with it. I enjoy it as much as anybody. But tell you, wouldn't it be good if we could get as excited about the preaching of the Word of God as we do everything else? Preachers like me cannot preach with the power that Jesus preached, but we can preach with the authority that he gives to me to preach the Word of God. He gives me the Word of God that I can preach, that conviction can come upon people's hearts, that lives can be changed. I don't come here today to make people mad. I don't come here today to have a message and say one home. I'm here today for the preaching to change the lives of the hearers, of the ones that come. And friend, if you get mad, you have to get mad at the Word of God, because I'm telling you nothing more than what the Word of God says. We see his authority in his preaching. I tell you today, this ministry, it centers around the preaching of the Word of God. No matter what we do, we must preach the Word of God. So he spoke with the authority of his preaching. He had their attention already. They were amazed. They were astonished as he preached. Then we see his authority in his purpose. In verse 33, in the first part of 30, or the second part of 34, we find when he came, And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit, an unclean spirit, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? One thing interesting about that, as Jesus was preaching, his powerful preaching fell upon the ears of a man that was possessed. He had a spirit of an unclean devil. And by the way, he had. I want to emphasize that because in a minute you'll know he don't anymore. But it means to be seized or possessed. Unclean does not mean that this was especially evil demon, because all demons are unclean spirits. The point is, the demon came to the synagogue literally to hear Jesus preach. As Jesus preached, his preaching caused the demon some serious problems. By the way, isn't that a pretty good illustration? If you come to the house of God and hear the word of God and get upset, maybe you just, your heart's not where it needs to be. Because I tell you, even this preaching disturbed a man that was indwelt with a demon. We are told that he cried with a loud voice. And he cried out to him, and literally he begged him, and he said, Will thou leave us alone? This demon knew he was in the presence of God. Isn't it interesting? I tell you today, some people don't even recognize the presence of God. They can't even sense the presence of God because they're so far, their minds are so far away from him. But yet here's a demon-possessed man that said, there are Jesus of Nazareth. What have I to do? What have you to do with us? When something bad happens to us, it catches us off guard, we normally say no. Well, this man got caught off guard that day, or not the man, but the demon inside the man. The idea was, why are you attacking us? When he was confronted by the presence of the Almighty God in the body of Jesus Christ, the demon was unable to be silent. One thing I've noticed, and I've just seen this a little bit, and I'm not even going there too much this morning, but I have been called to the bedside of somebody that was demon-possessed. And one of the strangest things that I've ever seen, witnessed, or experienced in my life, and I never really would want to see it again. However, I'm convinced today that what I heard and saw that night, I heard a voice that was not the voice of that person that I was with. But what I heard that night was kind of scary. But the thing that I believe today is we've got a lot of people today in this world that are demon-possessed. And you don't know it because you don't hear it. You don't see it. You don't hear them speak. But I tell you, this demon had to speak because he had been confronted with the power of the preaching of Jesus. He had been confronted with the power of the presence of Jesus. And by the way, I don't believe demons want to be exposed. They don't like to have to speak. They don't like to have to reveal themselves, because they'd rather work undercover, destroying lost people's lives by indwelling them and leading them down a road that'll lead them to hell. Yet today, I believe every false religion, listen to me now, You can disagree. I said every false religion, no matter how moral, is demon controlled. There's demons present in their leaders, and I believe they're deceived by their religion, and they choose to stay silent by their design. But I tell you, when Jesus came around, he couldn't be quiet, and he cried out with a loud voice. The demon was terrified at the presence of God. Oh, listen, would to God that we could go back to come into the house of God, and conviction would fall upon the lives of people that are saved by the grace of God, and we would sense the presence of God in our midst, and it would drive us to an altar, drive us to our knees, drive us to the point of wanting to serve God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our might. And if a demon is bothered or sensed the presence of God, how much more should we that are saved sense God's presence in our life? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. There's only one person that I know of that we're allowed to hate, and that's the devil. And I believe we need to hate him. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And I think that's what we need to do in our life. The demon wants to know that Jesus has come to destroy them, and that's exactly what he had done. Comes from the word that means to ruin or to bring to nothing, to abolish, to bring to end. Satan and his demons, they've already got their sentence, by the way. We know where they're going to end up. They're going to end up in the lake of fire. And I'm telling you, they're running. Somebody said people's running scared. I tell you today, they're probably running scared and trying to carry out all they can, because they know that they're going to be cast into the lake of fire at the bottom of the pit. Jesus, I see you. He came to tear down Satan's kingdom. And today, the devil has power in this world. And I'm telling you today, I believe the reason America has turned so far away from God is because today there's so many people that are lost. They're possessed by demons. They've allowed the devils to control them, the devil to control them. And as a result of that, the devil is having a heyday in the day in which we live. And friend, today, where are the Christians? Can we not rise up one more time and stand for what is true and what God is doing? God is out to destroy the works of the devil. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he achieved victory over the devil and demons. That's why I don't believe we need to worry or need to fear the devil and the demons. I think we need to be aware of them. We need to be careful of them. We need to flee from that and stay away from it. But friend, I'm going to tell you, I know the rest of the story. The victory has already been won. Jesus paid the price on the cross of Calvary for our sin, and I know the outcome, but now upon this earth, he's doing what he can to blot out this evil that exists. In Colossians 2, 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I was reading an illustration by Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. He said he saw a little boy one time. He had a little bloom. He said that bloom, he could hold it in his hand and he couldn't even see it. But he said he took that bloom and he began to blow it up. He said as he began to blow it up, the bigger it got, he said he noticed there was an awful looking face. It was some similar to what maybe some would think the devil. And by the way, the devil don't have horns and a pitchfork and a red suit, okay? I can tell you, he don't look that way. But again, they said it kind of depicted the devil. And the boy blew and he blew and he blew. And the balloon burst. And when it did, the little boy, he did everything he could to stretch it to see that face. But he could never recreate what was on that balloon. That balloon had been deflated, and once again, he was able to hide it in his hand. I want you to know, when you and I were walking this earth, we were lost and undone, without Christ, headed for a devil's hell. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in order that he might take the air out of the balloon of the devil. And he's up on this earth today, manifesting himself to destroy evil in whatever way he can. And he'll do it through the preaching of the Word of God. Barnhouse said, we can thank God that Satan was effectively put to open shame, exposed publicly. His overblown balloon burst, leaving him nothing but a messy remains of his grinning pretensions. Jesus, listen to me, holds all power over the spirit world. No demon can hold you when Jesus sets you free. The Bible said you should know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And I tell you today, I'm glad to be free, free indeed. Remember years ago going to church with a young lady that was Pentecostal, and I've mentioned this often. I like the song. I don't know why we don't sing it here, but it's like a bird in prison, I felt. Anyway, it goes on to say, he set me free. I'm telling you today, I thank God that one day he set me free from the bondage of sin, all because he gave his life. In fact, Luke 4:18, when Jesus said he had been sent to preach deliverance to the captives, he came to set us free. Thirdly, see his authority in the person. This is quite interesting. He says in the verse that we find before us today, the latter part, verse 34, he said, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Why does the demon know that? Because all the demons and the devil know that. And I tell you today, I wish more people in our society could recognize that. There are many in the world today who deny the existence of God and Jesus. Some cults deny Jesus and who the Bible says he is. Some liberal theologians and pastors seem to have no clue sometimes to the identity of who Jesus Christ is. What man fails to comprehend is known all too well to this demon. He said, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. James 2:19 said, thou believest that there is one God. Now listen to this verse. He said, thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not sure or if you don't believe in God today, the devil and his demons have something on you. They do believe in God. They believe in the power of God. They believe in the existence of God. And they believe in what God is able to do. I think we find ourselves in the presence of the Holy One of God. Friend, today, it's not the demons we ought to be trying to determine what's going on and how we can deal with them and what we can do. It's the Holy One of Israel, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that gave his life for you and I in order that we might have redemption. I think of the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah cried out and he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm going to tell you something. When we get feeling like Isaiah did, it'll bring confession of our sin in our life. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And although I believe this morning a saved person cannot be indwelt by demons, I believe saved people can be, no doubt, hindered by Satan and the work that he does to prevent us from knowing the truth of the Word of God. When Jesus comes to us, he always comes as the Holy One of God. His holy presence highlights our sinfulness. In the presence of Jesus, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And then thirdly, we see his authority and his power. In verse 35 through 37, here's the man, he's been confronted, he's cried out, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirit, and they come out. Can I tell you something? Jesus don't need this testimony to confirm his authority and power. I'm grateful for it. But friend, today we know the authority and the power that he has. When the demon finished his panicked cry, Jesus rebukes him and said, hold thy peace. And believe me, the authority that he has spoken of previously, I believe he spoke with just as much then as he cried, hold thy peace. A single word from the sovereign God sentenced this demon. Without uttering any incarnation, without performing any rituals, without any debate, without any discussion, without any kind of formal action of going through or doing something or saying something or burning incense or doing anything, Jesus just said, hold thy peace, come out of him. And it was power enough for that demon to throw him down. And isn't it interesting? He threw him down in such a manner that he didn't even hurt him. He said, he came out of him and hurt him not. Jesus took care of that too. But think about it. If the crowd was amazed at the preaching of Jesus, imagine how amazed they must have been to experience and to witness what had just transpired in the life of this man indwelt by a demon. I hear people all the time say, boy, if I could just see God do something like that, I tell you, if I could just see God do something. Let me tell you something. I see God do things in people's lives day in, day out, week in, week out. I tell you, I'd love to see more of it. But I'm going to tell you, my God does miracles. We know somebody said, well, he don't raise the dead anymore. Oh, yes, he does. The Bible said, you was dead in your trespasses and sin. And I tell you, you have he quickened who was dead in your trespasses and sin. And thank God, when you get born into the family of God, you've been raised from the dead. You've been placed in the family of God. They were saying, what a word is this? With what authority, what power that he commanded the unclean spirit to come out? Listen, they could not believe. What is this message? And yet the Bible said in Matthew 9:33, and when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Friend, I'm telling you today, we may not in our lifetime witness an act like this, but friend, when God is welcomed in our church and welcomed in our hearts and welcomed in our home, we can see miracle after miracle after miracle that'll be a result of his preaching, of his power, of his purpose, of everything that he does in order that he might work in our lives. Jesus was famous before this event, but he was really famous now as he came. His fame grew exponentially as the word of God spread the country of the authority and the power. Jesus has power over the devils and over demons. The demonstration of the Lord's power over Satan and demons reveals his ability, listen to me, it reveals his ability to deliver sinners from the grasp of Satan. I don't want to have to perform this morning, and I'm not here today to do an exorcism of people that are demon possessed, although I believe God still is able to do that. But I'm here to say today that there's people in this building that are still enslaved in the bondage of sin. Their lives are destroyed. They're on a path that is leading them nowhere. And I tell you, one day, if they don't get turned around, it's going to be an awful day when they reach the end of their road. But friend, if Jesus could do that for this man, believe me, there's not a single lost person in this world that God cannot and will not save if they'll put their faith and trust in him. He will deliver them. I wonder today if you're trapped in sin, know you need a redeemer. Jesus has the power to deliver you. Doesn't matter what sin. Doesn't matter what you call the addiction by name. Listen, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I say to you this morning, there's no sin that God is not able to forgive us of except the sin of rejection. And no matter where you stand today, God stands ready to deliver you. I'll tell you this message. So why did he put it in there? Why did we need that? Because it's a message of hope. It's a message of hope today to know that we live in a world that the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver people that are trapped by their sin. There's hope for the worst of us. A person may seem to have the hardest of hearts. They may seem proud. They may seem irredeemable. But the Bible said, and I quoted a little bit while ago, Ephesians 2:1-3, and you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespass and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature the children of wrath, even as others. But there's hope for a person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever give up. Remember Lee Robertson, he preached for me here, and he preached for me in Monticello. And I don't know how many times he pointed that old crooked finger he had at me. He said, don't ever, ever, ever give up on anybody. I don't care whether they leave your church. I don't care what they do. If they get away from God, don't ever. Or if they're lost, don't ever. I hear people sometimes say, well, it's impossible. Friend, with God, all things are possible. Ephesians 2:4, but God. I like it when we see one of them buts. Amen. He said, but God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in our sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Friend, I tell you this morning, the illustration found in this Word of God reveals to us that there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. Brother Bruce just, for a long time, pastored after he pastored at Pine Bluff, New Hope Baptist Church. And I'm telling you today, without hope, where would any of us be? Let those of us who know the Lord, let us rejoice in His power. Let us rejoice in His protection. Let us rejoice in what He's done for us. But God help us today. We ought to be busy trying to help set others free through what God does for them. As we serve Him and are obedient to Him, please. And again, this Lord laid on my heart just simply because this is the month. You're going to see it, all the horror movies, all the witches. And you know, we in the past, so, you know, listen, I don't care if kids dress up in characters, Winnie the Pooh and stuff like that, and come to the fall festival. But I tell you, I don't like to see witches. I don't like to see devils. I don't like to see nothing that glorifies the one that was out to destroy my life. But thank God He came and He paid the price in order that He might save my soul. Friend, I plead with you today, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He and He alone can set you free because of His power. And by the way, I believe no man is saved apart from the preaching of the Word of God. It may be from the memory of the heart, but if it comes from the Bible, this is the only way we can know that we're saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together. Lord, today a very difficult message. Lord, one that in my lifetime, I don't know if I've had to deal with it very often. But I know there was a time that I did. But I just look around the world today, and even though people may be magicians, we all know that it's illusions, it's tricks. Because there's nobody has power except you give them power. And yes, I do believe demons have power. I believe the devils have power. And I believe people get wrapped up in it and they see things that destroy their lives for the rest of their lives. Lord, bless now this invitation. If there's one here today lost, help them come today to know Thee as their Savior. Lord, just have Your will and way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.